you have your Bible, 1 John chapter 5. As we finish up this book, we'll go to 2 John next week. But notice, if you would, 1 John 5, verse 16. If any man see his brother sin a sin, which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. So we see someone that's doing something they ought not to do, we pray for them. There is a sin unto death, and we're going to come back to that in a minute. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. Verse 18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Sinneth is in the present tense, is not habitually sinning, doing the same things over and over again. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. In other words, we have the power of victory in our lives if we'll use it. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. We know that. And we know that the Son of God is come. We know that. And hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is in true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Now, I want to go back, if you would notice in the outline, Rome number one, there are sins unto death. Okay, and I want to take just a minute, and we're going to look at A, and there are two kinds of sins, and we're going to see them separated. One's for people that are not saved, and one's for people that are saved. But you'll notice there's a difference. Notice, if you would, A in the outline, if a sinner blasphemes the Holy Spirit, he can commit the unpardonable sin. This is, now listen to the definition of an unpardonable sin. Some people I've talked with said, oh, that's when you commit suicide. It's unpardonable. Or that's when you commit murder of someone else. No. Notice, if you would, in the outline, this is a rejection of the Holy Spirit's conviction. And we're going to come back to that in a minute. If one offends the Holy Spirit enough, he will not convict the sinner anymore. And without conviction, a sinner can't repent of his sins and be saved. How many of you remember being convicted by the Holy Spirit before you got saved? Okay, listen very carefully. Without that conviction, we don't have the compunction or the desire to say, well, I want to be saved. And when we pray, it's hollow. We might have a head knowledge, but our heart's not in it because there's no Holy Spirit conviction. And so you'll notice, if you would, take your Bible and turn to Mark chapter 3. And I want you to see this verse, Mark 3, verse number 28 and 29. And notice what it says. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Now, what he is saying here is that if you're at church and you're unsaved, or there's somebody there that's unsaved, and the Holy Spirit convicts your heart, and you begin to, and the Holy Spirit says, look, you need to go forward and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so the Holy Spirit is trying to lead us to Christ, and all of a sudden we step back and say, leave me alone. I don't want any part of that. I'm not going to go forward. I'm not going to get saved. Just leave me alone. That is an unpardonable sin if we continue to do it. Now, I don't know how many times we have to mock the Holy Spirit to cross the line. But there is a line that God says, okay, leave him alone. And that person's alive, but they're spiritually dead, and they cannot be saved because the Holy Spirit has left them alone. It's a very rare thing, but it does happen. And so you'll notice that a person, they're empty on the inside when this happens because they've mocked the Holy Spirit, they've blasphemed the Holy Spirit, they've rejected the Holy Spirit's touch to their heart. So if you're here tonight and the Holy Spirit is touching your heart to trust Christ as Savior, you've never been saved, then you can commit this unpardonable sin. It's a sin that cannot be forgiven because you've crossed the line. You've mocked the Lord. You have rejected him. Now, how many of you were saved the first time the Holy Spirit convicts your heart? The first time you heard the gospel, raise your hand. Okay? So all of us said no to the Holy Spirit. But there's a difference between blaspheming the Holy Spirit and saying no. One is, Lord, I can't do it today. I just can't do it today. Oh, Lord, what would they think? That's not blasphemy. Blasphemy is whenever we say, leave me alone. We begin to curse the Holy Spirit. We say, I don't want any part of Jesus. And we begin to say to the Holy Spirit, we mock him. What can you do for me? And as we do that, the Holy Spirit steps back. Remember, what is the biblical image of the Holy Spirit? It's a bird. What is it? A dove. And if you know anything about a dove, a turtle dove, they grieve over the loss of a mate and sometimes grieve to death. They have a very tender spirit, a turtle dove does. And so the Holy Spirit is like that dove. When Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit came in the form of a dove on his shoulder. And so you understand tonight that the Holy Spirit can be grieved, the Bible says. And it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Now, grieving the Holy Spirit can be done by a Christian. But a sinner can blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Now, notice if you would, if you have your outline, I want you to notice this. However, in this context of 1 John chapter 5, the sin unto death is speaking of a saint. Now, I believe this. I've read some commentaries that say, well, I believe it's the unpardonable sin. It doesn't seem to fit that way because if you'll notice in verse 21, he's speaking to little children. All the way through the book, little children are Christians that have either grown very little in Christ or they've just gotten saved or they want to know more and they're growing quickly. So they're little children, like a child that is listening and wants to grow. And so this whole passage is about Christians. So I don't believe that there is, that he's speaking about a Christian, a sinner that has crossed the line. But he is saying there is a sin unto death, and that's it, blaspheming the Holy Spirit. So you'll notice he says in verse number 16, there is a sin, the last part of the verse, there is a sin unto death. I do not say they shall pray for it. So it's two ways to die, one spiritual, one physical. Now, I'm going to take just a minute. Notice B in the outline. However, in this context, the sin unto death is speaking of a saint, a child of God that rebels against the will of God and becomes so corrupt that God just removes them to heaven. Now, there are two instances in Scripture where this type of thing occurs. Can anybody name one for me? I'll give you the reference. Can you name one? Gary? I didn't understand it. Now, Elijah, Elijah came close to that. You're correct. But if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it is partaking of the Lord's table when you have sin in your life. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I want you to see this. Elijah would be an example of someone that asked to die. Very true. But that discouragement is different than this sin. Notice, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And look with me, if you would, 1 Corinthians 11, verse number 30. Notice, if you would, he says this. We'll go to verse 29. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now watch this. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. There's death, spiritual death. Verse 31. For if we, this is the author, Paul speaking, including himself, If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. So he's speaking to Christians. Christians are the only ones that are supposed to partake of the Lord's table. Remember, we partake of the bread, which is a symbol of the broken flesh and torn flesh of Jesus Christ. When he was beaten with a cat of nine tails, a scourging. And then he was hung on the cross and his skin and flesh was torn. And then we partake of the juice that reminds us of the blood of Christ that was shed for us. So he's saying here, if you take of the Lord's Supper unworthily, then you can bring damnation to yourself. And that is, we can be sickly. He can bring it on us because we have taken the death of Jesus Christ. And we're trying to say thank you, but we have hidden sin in our life and we're not willing to give it up. He calls that kind of an act as one of disobedience and one that brings illness, even death. Because really and truly, we're trying to thank the Lord but never give him the true appreciation he deserves. We're not willing to say, Lord, thank you. I love you. We're willing to say, Lord, thank you for what you did for me, but I'm going to keep doing what I want to do. And he says, that's taken of the Lord's table unworthily. And notice, if you would, in verse number 29, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation. Because you can't thank someone for doing something good to you and go back and do it again. It's sort of like someone that a doctor, maybe someone that smoked and they came down with cancer of the throat. And I've seen this. I've visited people in the hospital that had their larynx and all of the cancer removed from their throat. And I walk in and they're smoking on oxygen, smoking through their throat. And the doc comes in and say, I want to thank you for taking care of me. The doc is not real pleased with that. Like, I've done everything I can for you, but you're going to kill yourself anyway. So the idea is that we look at the Lord Jesus and say, thank you for paying my debt, but I'm going to keep doing the things that caused you to die. And he says that's unworthily trying to take the Lord's table. That's one way we can commit suicide spiritually. Now, we're obviously not taking our own life, but we are doing the things that would cause the Lord to become angry with us, and we're committing a sin unto death. Now, you'll notice not only that one, but look in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. This one is one that I think is not as common, but it is something that's very clear. Notice, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. This is whenever a member of a local church that is living in sin. And when we say living in sin, it is a gross sin. It is something that God hates. And notice, if you would, verse number 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. Now, the Lord hates immorality, sexual sin. And such fornication, even the kind of fornication that's not even as much named among the Gentiles. Even the world doesn't do this. And you'll notice that one should have his father's wife. He said, what a horrible thing. And then notice he says, the rest of the church is puffed up about it. They're not grieved over it. They're not praying about it. Notice he says, have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. You pray for him and turn him over to Satan. Notice in verse 5, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. So there is a Christian that began to live the wrong way, and other Christians pray for him and turn him over to the destruction of the flesh to grab a hold of his attention and pray that he turns around. That is a sin unto death for a Christian. Now, I want you to notice, if you have your Bible, flip back over to 1 John chapter 5. In verse 17, he says, all unrighteousness is sin. And there is a sin not unto death. There are sins we commit that God doesn't require our lives for it. He still has use for us, but he wants us to repent of the sin. Now, listen very carefully tonight. God loves everybody in this room. And we're all sinners. And the way we get back into the fellowship of the Lord is that we say, Lord, I'm sorry. We forgive me. I was wrong. I won't do that again. And the Lord blots it out, and fellowship is restored. The relationship is never broken. That's reading it said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5, the spirit, the flesh may be destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved. The spirit is going to heaven. You're God's child when you're born into God's family. But he's going to take away the body that you use in this life because you've abused it and you've abused the privilege to serve the Lord. You haven't. You've taken his precious gift of salvation and lived the way you want, and God says, eventually, I've had enough. That's the sin unto death for a Christian. Now, if you'll take your Bible, I want to give you a very clear explanation of how this works. Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. And this is just a warning for all of us. And when we do right, we don't ever have to worry about this. And that's a good part. Notice, if you would, Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse 26. For if we sin, what? Willfully, on purpose. Okay? We know it's wrong. We do it anyway. After we've received the knowledge of the truth, after we've received Christ as Savior, after we become his child. And so you'll notice, it says, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Jesus doesn't have to go back again and die for that person. They're already God's child. He said, the debt is still paid. But, verse 27, a certain, that means a sure, it's guaranteed, fearful looking for a judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. In other words, God doesn't take it lightly when you and I sin on purpose. So if you're talking with someone, you begin to get upset and you get frustrated and then you lose your temper and you know it's coming. You begin to feel it. Say, I'm getting angry here, but I don't care. And we know it's coming. If we sin willfully, the Lord says, I don't like that. And so you'll notice what he says. He gives, then he pauses and sort of puts a parenthesis in. Verses 28 and 29 is a parenthesis. Now follow this. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. In the Old Testament, if someone was seen and they got mad and used an axe and killed someone, and two people saw him or three people saw him, those two people stood up, told the high priest of the day, they took him out, and they stoned him. That was all there was to it. He said, now watch. He said, he that despised Moses' law, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Okay? So notice what he says. He died without mercy. Now follow with this, verse 29. Of how much sorer punishment, how much worse punishment. Suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified, wherewith he was saved, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. He said, no, I'm going to do what I want to do. I know I'm going to heaven. There's no one can stop that. I'm going to do what I want to do. Notice what verse 30 says. For we know him that saith, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. Now, this next sentence is something all of us need to remember. The Lord shall judge his people. So the person that's being talked about here, if we sin willfully, obviously the author is putting himself in that verse. If we sin willfully, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Jesus doesn't have to go back and die again. We're still God's child. Anybody here ever had a child just look at you and purposely disobey? Okay, I can remember one time, Jeremy, he's 46 now. He's learned better, I think. But he was about a year and a half old. And he was in a stroller. Now, I don't even know if they have those anymore. But you set him in, and he would just run all over the kitchen. But he couldn't walk. He'd just run over the kitchen. He was less than a year old. And so he would run over, roll over, and he'd put his hand in the trash. All the cans, try to get stuff out. His mom would say, no, no, and push him back to the other side. He'd slide over when it stopped rolling. He'd look at her. He'd go. That happened three times. And the third time, I came home. It was after work, and I came home, and I could tell she was frustrated. I said, what's wrong, honey? She said, Jeremy, and her heart was broken. He just won't obey. I said, he's 11 months old, he won't obey? What do you mean? And she said, well, watch. And so, after a little while, he'd go over to that trash can. And I saw that trash can. I said, oh, no, 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 no. And I grabbed him, I took his hand, and boy, I swatted it like I said, no, no, no. And I pushed him back over there. He did it again. After the third time, I took him out, swatted him on the backside a bunch of times. Now, it made noise through the diaper that thick. It didn't hurt him. And he was just, oh, my goodness. You could have thought his heart was broken. So then I took him, and I pushed him over toward the trash can. He's going, no, 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 trying to get back. You know what the Lord's trying to get you and I to do? The same thing. He just wants us to hate sin. But if we like it and we look him in the eye and go do it anyway, he says, if we sin willfully, there's a certain fearful looking for a judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. And so it can destroy us if we have that kind of a spirit. And I notice this. Look in verse 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And the verse before that, he said, the Lord shall judge his people. So you and I don't want to make the Lord angry. We don't want to make him where he judges us. That's exactly what happened to Jonah. That's exactly what happened to Elijah. He said, Lord, just kill me. I don't care. I don't care to live. Just kill me. I'm the only one trying to do what's right. And the Lord said, I got 7,000 more. And he said, I don't care. I don't want to live anyway. And you'll find that it wasn't long, and the Lord took him to heaven. And he gave him, he went and anointed his replacement. So what I'm trying to say is tonight is that there is a sin unto death, both for sinners and for Christians. One is permanent. One takes you to heaven. It's a difference. Now, notice with me, if you would, in the outline, God calls every unrighteousness sin. If we disobey anything that the law says to do or not to do, it is sin. Now, I've given you two references here, and I'd really like for you to practice and try to learn them. Notice James 2:10. Whosoever shall keep the whole law and offend in one point is guilty of all. So the idea is we don't get the opportunity to say, look, I've done everything right. Surely I can lose my temper once in a while. There is no room for us being able to say, this is one little sin that I deserve the right to do. We can never be like that. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So you and I have both sins of omission and sins of commission. The sin of commission is keeping the whole law and yet offending one point, he's guilty of all. So tell me this. How many laws do you have to break driving your car before you're a lawbreaker? One. Well, Steve, that's right. One. So if you go through a red light on purpose or accident, are you a lawbreaker? Yes. One's purposeful. If we sin on purpose, willfully, the other one is by accident. And so how many of you have ever had a policeman pull you over and say, do you know what you did? Anybody ever had one like that? Hey, do you know what you did? And, you know, I so bad want to say, I got no idea, but I know what I did. You know, maybe one time I remember one night, it was late at night, I was tired, and I was coming out of a place where I'd met someone, and I was turning right, and I pulled up the stop sign, looked both ways, there was nobody coming. I pulled up the stop sign, and I slowed down almost to a stop, but I didn't stop, and I put a gas on up, and he pulls me over and says, "You know what you did?" I said, "Yes, sir, I do. I didn't stop at the stop sign. I'm sorry, I deserve my ticket." He says, "Well," he said, "have a good night. Just stop next time." Now, if I looked at him and said, "I got no idea, and besides that, it's none of your business," I guarantee I'd got a ticket right then. Probably got a ticket a mile long. And I might even had stripes for the next morning. I don't know, you know, from my comeback from the jailhouse when I had treated him that way. So picture the Lord. "Dave Pittman, you know what you did wrong?" "Yes, sir, I do. I'm so sorry, Lord. Forgive me." What kind of grace do you think I'd get there? There's mercy there. And that's the reason Lamentation says his mercies are new every day. But they're not new every day for the one that says, "I'm going to do this and I don't care what you think." And so 1 John is about trying to get people to realize there is a sin unto death and to realize that all unrighteousness is sin, but God loves you and I. He doesn't want us to walk around looking, "No, I don't want to do that. I don't do that." He wants us to look around and say, "Oh, I get to do this and I get to do that, and I can be a good testimony, and I can, and we're a blessing to the Lord." Now, there's sins of omission, when to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin, a sin of omission. I know I ought to encourage my wife, and I'm upset with her about something, which I'm not, then I'm just not going to say good things to her. That happens sometimes. Or I'm just going to hold my tongue. I'm going to give her the silent treatment for a while. See if she can figure out what she did. To him that knoweth to do good, you go to somebody if they've been offended, or if you've hurt somebody, you go to them and say, "Hey, honey, would you watch this for me? That kind of bothered me. When you ran into that pole at the Walmart and you ran into it 3 times, that kind of bothered me. Could you not do that anymore?" You know, when Susan and I were married, we worked hard and finally got a nice car, and it was a Taurus. How many know what a Taurus is? Okay. And at the old church, Drainsville Road, there were two yellow poles behind the fire hydrant, around the fire hydrant. And she came in one night and she was crying. I said, "What's wrong? What happened?" And she cried so hard she couldn't hardly tell me. And she said, "The car." And I said, "Did you tear up the car?" "Well, it'll be okay. Are you okay?" "Yeah." And so I went out there, and it was the side of it was torn off from the front headlight all the way to the back headlight. I said, "Honey, what happened? Did you not use your brake?" She said, "I couldn't think." I said, "Okay, no problem." And I went and spent $40 million to rebuild the side of it. But I'm not going to be mad at her because she was brokenhearted over it. Now, if she looked at it and said, "Yeah, I did it. I meant to do it. I was just mad at you. So I started at the front and went all the way to the back." That's a different story. You don't do that to the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? So there's a principle here. All unrighteousness is sin. And just because we didn't commit that sin, it doesn't mean we've got grace, so now we can go commit this sin. And that's what he's trying to say in this passage. He says all unrighteousness is sin. Notice in C1, we can commit sins of commission that we know are wrong, we ought not to do it. And we can also commit, number two, sins of omission. We know we should be a blessing to someone and we're not. Or we should give somebody a compliment and we're not. You know, the Bible clearly says in Ephesians, you know, that you know, let your speech be always with grace. I want to be extra good to people when I talk to them. And that's a sin of commission if I don't do that. If I leave it off now, I've committed a sin of omission because I could have complimented them, but I didn't. Well, notice if you would, D, we know that a true believer has the Holy Spirit that urges and guides him to do what's right. Sinners don't have the Holy Spirit. You can, if you, I don't know if you've ever looked at somebody and said, why in the world would somebody do that? Why in the world would, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, would someone commit immorality with his father's wife? What are they thinking? They don't have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't say. Now, in that case, they did. And the Lord said, turn them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Pray for them, that Satan would correct them. The point that I'm saying to all of us in this room tonight is that Christians can do terrible things just like sinners can, but the punishment for a Christian can be death. The punishment for a sinner can be eternal death. And one is irreversible, the unpardonable sin. And so if you notice in this passage, we have the Holy Spirit in our hearts. The Holy Spirit can help us do what's right. So there's nobody in this room that can say, there's this sin that it just overwhelms me. I can't fix it. The Holy Spirit will help you fix it. And there is enough strength in the Holy Spirit and guidance to give you victory in the Christian life. Notice, if you would, if you have your Bible, turn back over to 1 John. Turn to 1 John chapter 5. And I want you to notice this verse here. Notice 1 John chapter 5. And look with me, if you would, at verse number 19. Now we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. We know that we're of God. We can have victory in our life because we're of God. Notice, if you would, in verse number 4 of chapter 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So we may not have the strength to believe that we can get rid of this sin or stop doing this sin, but the Lord said, just trust me and I'll help you. And together we can do it. You're never alone, folks. So whatever the sin is, you bring it to the altar and say, Lord, I need your help. And the Lord says, I'll help you. He said, my mercies are new every day. Now, notice, if you would, Roman numeral 2. True born again Christians cannot sin over and over without paying a heavy price. Now, I just went over that in Hebrews chapter 10. That's the passage. Notice, if you would, A, we lose a good testimony if we sin. If we sin on purpose, our attitude shows to other people and they lose respect for us. That's the reason why we have to be so careful that we never want the attitude that I did it and I don't care. That's what makes God angry. If we sin willfully, there's a certain fearful looking for a judgment, because God says, I'm not putting up with that. Notice, if you would, see in the outline, be in the outline. Now, this is really, if I could get you to learn anything tonight, learn this lesson. B, God wants our love for him to be greater than any sin we desire. That's what God wants. Verse 2, 1 John 5, 2, and this we know, that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Because we love God, we want to do what's right. And the thing, I want to treat my wife right. I want to be good to her. I want to treat you right. I want to pray for you. I want to love the people of Temple Baptist Church, because that's what the Lord wants me to do. And so because I love him, I want to do what he wants me to do, and it's not grievous. Oh, I got to pray for that resmacini again. I don't know what's going on with me. No, that is not the love of God. The love of God is, Reza got his new knee. I really want to pray, Lord, would you bless him? Because I love the Lord and the Lord loves Reza and I want to pray for him. So we do things because of the love of God. Notice, if you would, in the outline. See, we Christians must guard our hearts from idols. Now watch this. An idol is anything that takes more attention and love than we give the Lord. Now, that's easily done if we're not careful. You can love hunting so much that you spend more time thinking about it and planning it than you do talking with the Lord. I'm afraid there's a lot of Christians in America that have idols. Look, if you would, in the outline, I'm in the scriptures, verse 21. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Now, he is talking about idols in the temple, physical idols. But I do believe the Holy Spirit wants to use this passage for all of us to say, don't put anything before the Lord. Because in Matthew chapter 6, he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He's telling us that things become more important than the Lord. And when that's the case, we begin to drift over to, now, I don't see anybody falling down and worshiping their car. I mean, I joke with Drew Gardner about his car, but I respect he takes care of that car. It's 8 or 10 years old, looks like brand new. I don't see him out there worshiping that car, bowed down like that. I may joke with him about doing it, but that's just because I care about him and I want to tease him a little bit. But my point is that there could be some things that, well, you know, I don't want to go to church tonight because it's raining and I get my car wet. Better be careful. Don't ever put something before the Lord. It qualifies as an idol. Notice, if you would, D in the outline. We must pay attention to avoid sin. But it is more important. Now listen very carefully. We ought to pay attention to avoid sin. But it is more important to focus on loving and obeying the Lord. The Lord doesn't want us to walk around trying not to step on the cracks and not try not to do that, try not to do this. He wants us to love him and focus on pleasing him. I can go around the house and say, now, you know, I don't do this, but if I took my socks and my t-shirt, I came in the house and I just started taking it off and I left it in the hallway, and she would say, hey, honey, could you pick that up and help me? And I say, yeah, I'll think about it. So when I come in, I think about it, and I take my clothes off again anyway, and I say, well, she'd be upset with me if I take my socks off, and I got to take them over to the hamper. Okay, I'll take my socks off and put them in the hamper. Okay, I take my t-shirt off and put it in the hamper. Or I can come in and say, hey, honey, how can I help you today? I know you had a long day today. It smells good. What can I do? Can I take out the trash for you? What can I do? One way, I'm looking to show my love. The other way, I'm trying to avoid things that make her upset. One way is a sweet marriage. The other way, I'm just asking for trouble. Now let's put it with the Lord. Okay, Lord, you don't want me to cuss, and you don't want me to get frustrated with people, and you don't want me to tell people a piece of my mind. Okay, I'll try to avoid those things. What do you want me to do? One way, you displease the Lord. The other way, when you begin to look at the Lord and say, Lord, I want to do things that please you. Open my eyes to good things. Open my eyes where I can give somebody a compliment. I can brag on somebody. I can be a blessing for you. Notice, if you would, D in the outline. If we do that, if we pay attention to right, we pay more attention to loving the Lord. If we do that, we can have a lasting peace and joy. The Holy Spirit will guide our steps. He guides us away from sin. It's not like we have to look at all this thing. Oh, maybe we've got one that's a besetting sin that we've tolerated for years. We may have to watch that one until we get victory over it, but we learn to follow the Lord and to please him, and then all these things, you know, just go away. All the wrong things begin to fade away because our love for Christ is greater than anything we desire in this life. Learn to live. Lord, I want my love for you to be greater than anything I desire in this life. but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The Lord knows when you need a new car. The Lord knows when you need a new suit. The Lord knows when you need a new lawnmower. The Lord knows when you need a new job. It's just up to you to say, Lord, I want to please you. And the Lord says, I got all this other stuff. Don't worry about it. I'll take good care of you. His mercies are new every day. Put the Lord first and enjoy the peace and joy that come from it. Let's bow forward to prayer tonight. Ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. Lord Jesus, would you speak to hearts tonight? Father, help us to do right because we love you. And Lord, would you help us to avoid sin as a secondary thing? Lord, help us to focus on pleasing you and doing what's right and enjoying right. And then, Lord, you guide our steps that we avoid all sin. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless tonight and hear our prayers, dear Lord Jesus. We have no one to call to but you that can answer and heal and bless. In your name we pray. Amen.